Welcome, everyone, to the Ricardo's Rules of Resilience podcast, the podcast where we give you the tools to withstand and recover from difficulties. I'm your co-host, Coach Alton, along with Coach Ricardo. And today, you guys, we got a very special topic of transition. Transition is a difficult and challenging things in people's lives. People, we don't like to change, right? We like to stay comfortable in our comfort zone, staying in those routines, and transition pushes us out of those routines. Even if it is a transition that we're looking forward to, it's exceedingly important that we handle this transition in a mature way to set ourselves up perfectly for the new opportunities that arise from transition. So tell us a little bit about transition, Coach.
Yeah, transition can be anything in life. It could be that we got a promotion at work, that we are ending a relationship or beginning a new relationship. It could be moving to a new home. It could be moving to a different city. But transitions can take place in many different forms. It could be going from middle school to high school or high school to college. It could be moving to a different shift or a different department at work. All of these things that cause a big disruption in our lives are transitions, and we need to handle them well. Some transitions we chose, and we may be choosing to end a relationship or choosing to accept a promotion or choosing to change jobs, or some transitions are thrust upon us outside of our choice. You might get laid off from work. You might get forced out of your home. You might have someone who chooses to end the relationship even though you don't want to. All of these transitions, whether you choose them or not, they're important. And it's important, as you said, to handle them well because they're going to be disruptive. And how we go through this is really going to do a lot to determine our overall health and happiness. And we want to be resilient in our transitions. We want to be able to withstand and recover from a transition, whether it's a positive one or a negative one. And that's what we're going to talk about today.
Definitely. With transition, there's a lot of difficulties that you need to withstand, and resilience is going to be a key part of making sure those transitions are smooth. And recently, I'm going through the transition. I was at home all throughout the summer, and I just m recently moved back to where I go to school at Aurora University. I'm going to be finishing up my senior year, getting my bachelor's degree in exercise science and business administration. So very exciting time as well. It's where I wrestle as well at the university. So an exciting time, but that's not the only transition that we're going through during this season of life.
Yeah,
Coach Ricardo and me both went through a pretty big transition this summer. So tell us about that transition, Coach.
oh, it's a big one, all right. We sold our brick and mortar gym. We opened that in 2020. It's been a family business. Everybody in the family's been involved in one level or another. And we sold it. It's been less than a month already. And now, not only am I not running a brick and mortar gym, I am taking on a new role with Spartan Deca. Nobody was surprised that people were asking me as I was announcing that I was selling the gym, what are you going to do now? And I said, well, I'm not going to tell you yet, but nobody's going to be surprised. And sure enough, no one has been surprised because they know my love for Deca. And so, for people who know me, to see me move into that role is not a surprise at all. It's something I'm thrilled about, absolutely thrilled. And also, I'm going to continue in the role, different people, but in the role of coaching people one-on-one if they want to get better at their DECA time, or people who just want that resilience coaching, who are coming looking for having a coach in their life to help them navigate the tough times and recover from the hard times. So, moving more into the areas that I'm passionate about and out of the areas where I wasn't so passionate about of the administration of a business. So for me, big exciting changes in store as well as for you and actually for our whole family.
And I feel like not only is DECA something you're passionate about, it's also something that you're good about, and that's really key to finding what's that overlap of passion and something that you're talented at. With our brick and mortar facility, you were had Yancey Culp actually gave us a shout out for having the most revenue out of any DECA affiliate. So
Yeah.
that's a pretty big accomplishment there. Because there's DECA affiliates all over the world right now, and all over the country. I'm pretty sure they're in all 50 states now, so it's nationwide and global. So being the number one affiliate is a pretty big accomplishment there. So I'm excited for that opportunity for you to really take off. I feel like that'll be awesome for you. And for me as well, I talked about a little bit earlier, going to be starting up school. At the time when this recording releases, I'll be on my first day of school for my senior year. And also during this time, I'm going to be doing some DECA personalized coaching. So if anyone is interested in improving those DECA times, reach out to me and we can get you to those goals. So I'm very excited for this time period in our life. And that gives us a perfect transition to the first stage of transition, transitioning into the transition, right? So celebration is the first stage. It's important to celebrate not only the new opportunities, but the old, remembering the good times, right? You need to process it all. So there's a lot of good times when you owned your brick and mortar facility. So tell us about those good times, Coach.
Well, I tell you, I'm celebrating the fact that we sold a profitable business. We opened this business January 20th of 2020. And, the batteries had died in my crystal ball. And so I was not able to see in 2019 as I was signing a lease and preparing to open this gym. There was a worldwide pandemic right around the corner. But sure enough, we were open for 9 weeks. And the little baby business, just 9 weeks old, little baby, just got shut down, bam, for the next 9 weeks. Even before we shut down, Indiana was, one of the last ones to shut down. And so even a couple of weeks before that, people were scared and they were seeing other states shut down. And so we were, you were just seeing very empty classes. And then, I realized that 9 weeks is much shorter than many other states were open, but it's still a very long time to be shut down, especially because the government money was based on where you were, where your finances were in February, and much of the money, large amounts of the money the government was helping businesses with was actually based on your 2019 finances. Well, 2019, we didn't exist at all. In February, we were just a couple weeks old. So there was some help from the PPP and those type of programs, and I'm very grateful for it, but it was some dark days. I would go in early in the morning and work all day and do those virtual classes and, be in contact with the clients who were taking the virtual classes and still trying to work their nutrition and be in the dark. And I couldn't afford to turn on the heat, so I was in the cold. It was really tough times. And then when we did reopen, it's not like we were out of the woods. Members who had kind of stayed with us through the shutdown were like, oh, you're fine now. And several of them dropped out. And so we were having to replace those and try to grow again. And then as we got into the flu in 2021 was just as terrifying in many ways. They were limiting the size of classes. And in our area, 2021 was much worse for actual COVID cases. So then people were staying away. And I tell you, I went through such tough times that I actually went on anxiety medication. I remember, waking up in the middle of the night from a dead sleep and my heart pounding like a jackhammer, just a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety. And to go from that to selling a profitable business, and not just profitable business, at the last month that we have the reconciled books for before we sold, which of course in July when we sold, the books are all messed up because of all the transition money coming in and going out. But the last month of normal operation, not only were we profitable, we were considerably ahead of where we were last year, which was our most profitable year. And so to be selling a business in that position is just tremendous blessing. And I am thankful for that. It's way better than I feared. And in those dark days of COVID, I was scared I was going to lose everything. And so, to be able to pay back the loans and do the different things like that, it's just a tremendous blessing. And not only that, as you mentioned, just recently in July, you and I were in L.A. at the Impact Summit, and founder of DECA, Yancey Culp, shouted us out from the stage for having the number one DECA affiliate. I think there's like 350 or so DECA affiliates around the world, and having the number one DECA affiliate in terms of revenue generation. Just tremendous blessing. So a lot to celebrate, a lot of life change to celebrate, people that got off medications, people that lost a ton of weight, people that did things like go to the DECA World Championship. So all of these things, I'm celebrating and I'm counting my blessings and I'm happy about all the good times we had as a family learning and running a business together. And by remembering and recounting those good times, it makes the transition that much better. It's definitely a key element in getting through that hard time. And it's true whether you choose a transition or not, right?
I feel like COVID was just crazy when that happened. I was a junior in high school, finishing up my wrestling season when I started to help out at our brick and mortar facility. And I think I was a week into helping out, just cleaning mats and stuff, doing tasks here and there, when we had to shut, or I don't know if we shut down after a week or it started to get to that point. And so then it's pretty, definitely very scary times, because you don't know, like, is this going to fail? Like, and so much uncertainty that everyone had to deal with. And it was especially magnified when you put all your assets into a business that is not potentially not going to survive, right? So that's definitely a scary time. But the good times out of it, we survived, right, by the grace of God. And also I was able to find out what I'm really passionate about, right? Because my junior year of high school, didn't really know what I wanted to do with my life yet, kind of still figuring that all out.
Right.
And after we started to reopen, I started to get involved with the coaching and found out I'm pretty good at it and I enjoy it. My passions overlapped with my talent, and been taken off through there. Got my ACE certification for personal training, and got to help out a lot of people. So that's a lot of good memories, helping people accomplish things that they didn't think they could. And that's just a really great feeling. And now I'm a couple years away from finishing, or 2 years away from getting my degree and taking off in the field. So very blessed by this opportunity. And I feel that's very important to celebrate. Remember those good times. Right?
Before we move to the next one, I just want to say, you know, some people listening to this are going to be in transitions that they didn't choose. You know, like we talked about, someone might be leaving a relationship and you wish they weren't. You know, you wish the marriage or the relationship wasn't ending. You may be getting laid off from a job, or your parents may have chosen to move and now you have to move. Or, you know, there's all kinds of situations where we don't get a choice in a major transition. And I still want to encourage everybody listening to this, you still count your blessings. You still want to celebrate the good times, because that is an important part of making an emotionally healthy transition. We're going to talk more about this, but you know, the idea of the trapeze bar, I was told a long time ago by a mentor, you know, when you're making a transition, like the trapeze at the circus, and they go in one bar, they take one bar across, and then the other bars come in their way, and they have to let go of the first bar, fly through the air, and grab that second bar. And part of that, you can't grab that second bar well unless you let go well. And so you have to let go well. And part of that is acknowledging, yes, there were good times, even though it may be painful, you may be grieving those. We're going to talk about that in a minute, but you still want to celebrate the good things and have those smiles and have those laughs as you recount the good things about the situation you're leaving.
And one of Ricardo's rules, when people stop celebrating their wins, they stop having them. Right? It's important to celebrate those wins in good times so you can continue to have them, because if we just stuff that down, then we're less likely to experience those wins and good times. So the other aspect of celebration, the second stage, is after you've been able to celebrate the good times in the past, is celebrating the new opportunities. And Coach, we both talked about the opportunities and how excited we are for those. But why is it so important to be celebrating the new opportunities that are coming into your life?
You know, what we focus on grows. My father, your grandfather, Papa loves to say that whatever you focus on is going to grow. So, you know, if you take a little bitty piece of gravel and you put it right up here in front of your eyes, it looks like a boulder, right? And the more you stare at it, the more it's going to, bigger it's going to look. And so when you are focusing on the opportunity is actually going to grow. You and I are people of faith. We follow the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus, and the Master said this, that the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. And that darkness or light is really determined about how you see, right? He's saying, be careful how you see. Not what you see, but how. And so what we want to do is make sure that we're looking with good eyes. We're looking at the opportunities that are ahead of us. Now, for you and I right now in this transition, that's easy, right? I'm super excited to be a part of DECA. I've resonated with Yancey's vision of getting the 80% of the people in the world who haven't stepped to a starting line or been on an organized team to have something for them. That totally resonates with me. I've seen, dozens and dozens, if not hundreds, of people come and do a DECA that didn't think they could, and they were scared they couldn't do it, and do it anyway, and see the motivation and the good that does them in their fitness journey and in their mental health. So, so for me to be able to go around to different gyms and schools and do this as a fundraiser for different teams and organizations and do this, as gyms to expose their members to it, that's easy. I can celebrate that all day long, And it's also easy for me because I'm looking at, I'm going to keep doing resilience coaching. Now again, I'm going with new clients, right, as I went away from my brick and mortar facility to be able to do that, to focus on people one-on-one. I love that stuff, right? That's way better to me than, hey, why didn't this get mailed and it's still sitting here? Or, the different things that you have to do as a business owner that can really sort of drain the life out of you. Instead, I get to focus on the opportunities in front of me. And that's just fun. It's life-giving for me and it's easy, right? And it's pretty easy for you as well, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, definitely. I feel like, though, even if those new opportunities in your life, like we said, the transitions that are kind of forced upon you, it's still important to be excited for the new opportunities, regardless of whether you didn't want the transition to happen or not. It's important to be excited for those new opportunities. And sometimes, if you're fortunate, you can be very excited about the new opportunities pretty easily, right? Other times, it might take a little getting used to those new opportunities.
Yeah, you're exactly right. If this change was forced upon you and you didn't have a choice, maybe you find yourself, newly single, you could look at it and go, oh man, I'm too old, nobody's going to want me, or whatever, that was my soulmate, there's never going to be anyone like him or like her. You can focus on that and that misery will grow. Or you can look at the opportunity and go, hey, I've got a chance to get this right. I've got a chance to be a little more picky. I know more what I want. I know who I'm more compatible with this time. And I'm ready. I'm more ready than I was before. Same thing. Even if you were forced to change departments or forced to change shifts or jobs, lay off, it's a chance to say, hey, you know what? There's things about that job that I think I can do better next time. I can find a better place, or I can move to this department because there were some things that kind of drove me nuts. And I think I can recreate a situation that's going to be even better. I might have liked the last one, but I can create a situation that's even better in the next one. As long as I keep my eyes on the opportunity, it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. I feel like with that, it's I can't remember the exact quote it is, but you never lose if you learn, right? So if you're constantly learning from those losses, right? So for example, you get laid off, learning from that, what can I do better next time? In a relationship, if you get broken up with, you get dumped, what can I do better? What things am I going to look for in that new relationship so that you never make a mistake, the same mistake twice, right?
That's
constantly
right.
Constantly learning and improving. And then it's not really a loss, right? You just learned. Right? It's
That's
just
right.
helping you in your climb. So on the flip side of celebrating, it's important to allow the grief. Transitions are difficult. Even like for us, when it's a transition we're excited about with a new opportunity, there's still a lot of grief. And we need to allow ourselves to feel that grief and process it, right? If I just bottle it up and be like, oh, this is a great opportunity, and completely ignore all the grief that's associated with it, then I'm setting myself up for failure. I'm going to have all that pent-up emotion that I'm probably going to release in a way that I don't want to, right? A loved one or something, yeah. Later on, if I keep that stuff in that emotion down deep. And it's okay to experience grief. Right? It's an okay emotion to feel, right? It's important to feel. And for me, I mean, the past 4 years, I've really poured my heart and soul out into our brick and mortar facility. And yeah. It's difficult to walk away from the relationships that I've formed, right? All the time that I've put in. But I need to feel that grief, right? I can't just stuff it down and be like, oh, this is great, right? I need to allow myself to feel that and be okay with that, right? Because that'll set me up, put me in a good position moving forward, because I have all those emotions processed and I'm not stuffing them down and for them to come out later on. So tell us a little bit more about why allowing the grief is important.
You know, you're exactly right. So, in my situation, I'm super excited about DECA. I'm super excited to have the weight off of my shoulders of running a brick and mortar facility. But there are still things that I'm going to miss, especially people I'm going to miss, clients that I've worked with for years, clients that became friends and even like family to me. And instead of denying that, people tend to fall off of an extreme, right? It was either all good or all bad, right? There's either nothing good about the transition or there's everything good about it. And really,
which
neither
is never the case.
Yeah.
Never the case. There's never. Always going to be good and bad with any transition.
That's right. And so I've got to acknowledge both. And the parts that I'm going to miss, allow myself to grieve. And I'm not saying sulk. And I'm not saying stay in the grief, you know, just wallow in it and languish in it. That's not at all what I'm saying. I'm saying that allowing it to happen. And it's not fun to feel that sadness. But not allowing myself to feel it is really like shopping on a credit card when you know you can't pay the bill, right? You can put it off, but it's going to come back with interest. And the next month, it's going to come back with more interest. And then there's going to be interest on top of the interest. And so that's why when people don't acknowledge negative feelings, eventually you can even get into, you know, situations of depression and, you know, anxiety and different things that can go on, like you said, it come out in your other relationships, because I haven't allowed myself to just go ahead and acknowledge, yeah, you know what, there are some things that I'm sad about, and let myself process those things. It's very important. Making a healthy transition is to grieve the good things. And there's things to grieve, even in a great transition like we're talking about, or, you know, my daughter, your sister, just went off to college for the first time. Well, this is my first daughter leaving for school. Oh, that's tremendous. She's independent. She's going to be a college athlete. She's going to the school she loves. She's got her cousin there as a support network. It's a tremendous thing. But I've got to acknowledge I'm a little sad that my girl is gone, and I've got to be okay with that. Again, not sulk in it, not languish in it, but I've got to be okay and allow those emotions to happen, or they're going to come back with interest.
I love that analogy with the credit card. You got to make those payments, do that soul care, right? Take care of yourself, make the payments on the grief, right?
Yeah.
Those payments.
Yeah.
All right. So now we'll move on into the next stage of transition, which is trusting in the process.
Mm-hmm.
It can be difficult with a lot of unknown and uncertainty in transition. You may not know your next opportunity. You may not know what lies ahead of you, but it's important to not let anxiety and fear take over in your life and to remain steadfast and trust that process. So, Coach, how about you give us an outline for what it looks like to trust in the process during a tough transition?
We alluded to it earlier. The process of transition is, like a mentor told me a long time ago, it's like the trapeze at the circus. So if you picture the trapeze artists, the acrobats, they're up in the air and they've got that bar. They've got the two bars and they're going to grab one bar and they're going to swing from the platform across and they're going to let go of that bar and sail through the air and then grab the next bar and ride that next bar across to the other platform. And that is a perfect picture of what it means to make a good transition, because when that acrobat is about to let go of the bar, they've got to let go of that bar well at the right time and in the right way. They can't hang on too long, and they can't let go too soon. They've got to let go of that bar at the right time in the right way, and they've got to sail through the air a little bit, and then they've got to grab hold of that next bar and forget about the one that's behind them. So they've got to grab hold well, they've got to let go well, they've got to sail. All three of those are important pieces of any transition. So, you know, if you're getting a promotion or you've got another job lined up, maybe it's better pay or closer to home or whatever, the temptation is to quit before you leave. What do you say? You have a phrase, mail it in or something.
Oh, yeah, mailing it in.
Mail it in. You can't mail it in. You've got to end on that bar well. And not only can you not quit before you leave, meaning quit giving an effort. You know, you want your last 2 weeks. That's going to be what's on everybody's mind. If you're doing a 2-week notice, you want that to be like, oh man, we miss that person. We're so sad they left because they were phenomenal. Cause they're going to be thinking about those last 2 weeks. Right. And I mean, of course you wouldn't dare not work a notice because then that's going to be the last thing on everyone's mind. Oh man, they up and left and stuck us with everything and just walked out, you know, and that's going to be the last thing on their mind. And you've got to end well. Same thing in a relationship. You know, if you're ready to end the relationship, you can do it with dignity. You can do it with respect. It doesn't have to be fault finding and saying, well, you're not this and you're not that. You can just acknowledge this is not working. It's not working for us. And you know, you're going to be perfect for somebody else. And hopefully I'm going to be perfect for somebody else, but we're not perfect for each other, right? We don't have that match. And you can do that in a way that preserves everyone's dignity. You know, whether it's work, whether it's relationships, you know, whether you're leaving a school, you know, moving from a home, whatever it is, you want to end well. And then you don't want to hang on. If you hang on too long, you know, you're going to really get messed up. You're going to be in no position to grab that next bar because your arm is all twisted up behind you. And, you know, you're going to mess yourself up if you hang on too long. You got to let go. And it's scary. You're going to sail through the air a little bit. And maybe you've got no friends at the next school or job, you know, or maybe you got to be single for a little while or, you know, whatever it is. There's going to be a period of uncertainty as you sail through the air. And that's okay. Right. That's part of the process. You got to trust the process. Hey, this is part of a healthy transition. And the same thing, then you've got to grab the new opportunity well. New home, new school, new job, new shift, new business, whatever it is. You need to grab that well and really grip onto it and not be looking back over your shoulder at the thing you left because you're just not going to do well when you're looking back over the shoulder. So you got to trust that process again. Whether you chose the transition or not.
Along with that, I feel like remaining present in the moment is super important in this trusting of the process, right? Because what happens when we let fear and anxiety is it takes us out of the present moment, right? It takes us off of our game, and because we're so wrapped up in the future and stuff that we can't control, right? When we remain focused in the present and we control the things that we can control on a daily basis, that's going to take care. Taking care of the little things will help take care of the big things later on.
That's
so
right.
If you're so worried about how everything's going to work out, right? And it's, let's say you're on a 2-week notice, like Coach said, I'm so focused on what the future holds and everything, then you're not finishing well, right? And then you're, that example is going to be in everyone's mind, right? And that might ruin new opportunities, right? If you remain focused, keep your head down, just focus on controlling the things you can control on a daily basis, then that's going to be on everyone's mind, and that's going to help you in future opportunities, right? Because people are going to remember that. It's going to stick with people. Along with trusting in the process, it's really important to have humility that you may not have your best interests in mind. We are people of faith, and we trust that God, our Father, has our best interests in mind. He's going to take care of us. And I can cast that fear and doubt onto him and really trust, no matter how dark the times may look, I can trust that God has my best interests in mind, and I don't even need to worry about that. How has faith played a component with you in trusting in the process during difficult transitions?
You know, I've had many transitions over the years. I went from Fort Wayne to Chicago, was to Chicago to Montana, spent some really good years in Montana, went to Costa Rica to learn Spanish, then to El Salvador back to the U.S., changed careers to go from mission work to doing, you know, being a teacher in alternative school, and then changed careers again to doing fitness. So I've had several transitions, and also I was divorced, and some of those were I handled way better than others, and I've learned a lot. Our pastor recently preached a sermon on prayer, and he said that, you know, remember, God knows what you need. You only know what you want. And that was so profound to me to think about, you know, when we pray and we pray for things. And, you know, we try, of course, to pray for good things, and we think the things that we want are good, and they probably are, but they might not be the best, right? And only God knows what we truly need and what truly the best will be. We just know what we want, right? We know our desires. And there's two promises from Scripture that I lean on very heavily. By the way, I recommend the Future Grace by John. It's where I learned this concept. But he talks Romans 8:28 being a very solid promise, is that all things work together for good for those who love God and called according to his purpose. And then Romans 8:32, just a few verses later, says, for God, who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not together with him give us all things? And those two rock solid promises are promises that can help you through transitions, even when they're transitions that you didn't choose, because you can rest on the fact that even though this transition maybe wasn't you, like me and my divorce, wasn't one you chose, but God is working it together for good. And so if you find yourself in a transition you didn't choose, maybe you were laid off, maybe your parents moved and now you've got to change schools, whatever it is, God is working it together for your good, and he will graciously give you all good things. It's a rock solid promise that means a lot to me and has gotten me through very difficult transitions in the past.
And a piece of scripture that's really helped me, and I have it actually written down here, and I put it above my bathroom mirror to remind me every day, that really helps me to trust in the process, is John 13:7. Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." And I feel like that's a really powerful verse, that it may not make sense now, but God is working together a plan for your good. And that really helped me last year. I had a really rough wrestling season, and back from some injuries and stuff. And it really helped me to push through, be resilient during that times, and overcome and withstand those difficulties. So now we'll transition on into the final stage of transition. And this can be a very difficult one, but it's ignoring the haters. Woo! With every transition, there's going to be some haters. And you got to put on those shades and block out those haters. Ignore them. So tell us, Coach, why isn't it so important to ignore the haters? Why not just refute them and argue with them, right?
Well, the first reason why it's important for us to bring this up is because there's always haters. They are out there. They're just people. You know, it's a sad reality, and I tend to be a little bit quixotic, a lot quixotic. I tend to be too idealistic. But, you know, we have to accept the presence of evil. And we have to accept that there are people who enjoy doing evil things. It's sad. It's sickening. It's heartbreaking. But, you know, there are people that abuse children. You know, there are people who will lie and cheat on their spouses. There are people who hurt and murder others. You know, they're just people who do evil things, who sell drugs to pregnant women, right? These are evil things. And there are people who just enjoy them. And there are people who enjoy running down other people and talking bad about them. They just get a sick, twisted satisfaction out of it. And sometimes they take little pieces that might be true and twist them. Sometimes they make things up whole cloth. The fact of the matter is they're there. They exist. And, you know, maybe you're at a spot in life where you don't have many of those, and or any of those. Wonderful, wonderful. Just file this away, because it's the time will come. There will be those people who just criticize, who lie, who twist things. And so you've got to accept that that's going to happen. I think that's super important, to not take it personally that it is happening, because it is going to happen. It's absolutely a part of life that there are people who enjoy that kind of evil. They enjoy talking bad about others, making things up, or even they'll hear something and they'll just enjoy spreading that, even if they, whether or not they know it's true, they heard it, so, oh, it must be true, so now I've got license to spread it. It's not personal. It's them. It's a reflection on them, not you. And that's very, very important for you to be able to internalize that and realize this is not about you. This is about their character. They're the type of person that enjoys spreading things that are false, or spreading things that they don't even know if they're false or true. They just, there's a deliciousness in it, and they enjoy that. So don't personalize it. That's the first step, because if you do personalize it, then you're going to feel like, oh, I got to go fix this, right?
Mm-hmm. And one quote is, if you don't got any haters, you're not living right, life the right way. Right? So you're always going to have haters, yeah. If you're, no matter what the situation. Another quote that my grandfather has that I really like is, you don't want to get into a mudslinging contest with a pig, because you both will get dirty and only one of you will like it.
That's right. Yeah.
Ignore those haters.
Yeah. And, you know, it can feel so compelling to go refute them, to go, hey, have you heard this? Because it's not true. Or, hey, you know, I just want to say this has got, you know, and if you spend time going around, but you're actually, one, you're wearing yourself out. But it's actually counterproductive, because then people see that you're worried about it. And so then it kind of almost lends credence. You know, it's counterproductive, because really at the end of the day, when someone wants to believe what they've heard about you rather than what they've seen, it's really a reflection on them as a person. If they have seen you be a good person, they've seen you have character, seen you have integrity, and they've seen how you've dealt with them and how they see you deal with others, and they say, oh man, that's a great person there. But then someone starts a rumor and they hear something and they decide, oh, I'm going to believe what I hear over what I've seen. That's really just a reflection on them, what type of person they are, not mm-hmm. a reflection on you. And you can't fix that. You can't fix another person. They want to choose to be that kind of person. It doesn't matter. You know, you could probably have a 1-inch thick file from your lawyer's office with affidavits. It wouldn't matter. They're just going to choose to believe what they want to believe at the end of the day anyway.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like when you go and you try and refute the point and tell people, oh, I didn't do this, I didn't do that, whatever you heard, I feel like it makes you look more guilty in those people's eyes, even if you may not be guilty of whatever the rumor is about you, right? It just kind of gives you that guilty because you're so nervous about it, right? So ignore
That's
those
right.
haters, block them out of your life. You don't need that negativity in your life. So
don't be surprised. Just don't be surprised and taken aback by it. You could get a promotion at work and somebody will say, oh, it's because you slept with somebody. You know, you could be ending your relationship and somebody could say, oh, it's because you or the other person were unfaithful. And, you know, I mean, it could be anything. And no matter how good of a transition it is for you, you know, you change jobs, somebody will say, oh, well, you were about to get fired. You know, I mean, it doesn't matter how good it is. There's going to be someone that, because they enjoy that type of evil, they're going to do that. And you just got to just not take it personal. Stay away from it. Don't refute it. Stay by the stuff.
Mm-hmm. So those are the four stages of transition. Just to give you guys a quick recap, the first stage is celebrating the good memories that you had from your previous, wherever you were, and then celebrating the new opportunities that are coming up. The second stage is allowing the grief, processing those feelings. No matter what, there is going to be some grief, even if it is a great transition. So making sure you process those feelings. The third step is trusting in the process, having that humility to realize that what I want may not be what's best for me in the long term. And then the fourth and final step is ignoring the haters. Take out that negativity from your life. You don't need the negativity. Right?
Yeah, this has been great. Thank you for joining us for the first episode of season 2. New season, new focus for Ricardo's Rules of Resilience. We appreciate you being here. And the only thing we're going to ask from you is, if you like what you heard and you found it helpful, please give us that 5-star rating so that other people can hear a message. And, you know, if you know someone that this may help, please share it with them to get the word out and get them the information they might need that might help them to be more resilient. What if they want to get a hold of you, Coach? How do they do that?
If you're interested in doing some DECA personalized training with me, the best way to reach out to me is on my Instagram at AltonMullinX17_, on Facebook at Coach Alton, and also we're going to have Google Forms in the description to fill out for resilience coaching with Coach or DECA personal training with either one of us. If you're interested in that, go down into the description of this video and fill out that Google Form. What if someone is interested, maybe a gym owner in the Midwest is interested in hosting a DECA with you, or if they're interested in the resilience and personalized coaching?
Well, I tell you what, you don't have to be a gym owner. We're doing this as a fundraiser from high school teams that will put on a DECA Strong, and they get to keep 20% of all the money that's raised there, plus any concessions or anything they sell. So it would be a great opportunity for your team, for your school, for your organization to hold a fundraising event that's just going to take, you know, a morning or an afternoon. I do the heavy lifting. I show up with the equipment. So you just help me promote it. And we'll have a great time celebrating fitness together and raising some money for your organization. Or if you're a gym owner and you want to have one of these events and see your members get motivated and energized and feel that magic that happens at a DECA event, go ahead and reach out to me. I'm Coach.Ricardo on Instagram or Ricardo Mullinax on Facebook. I also do that resilience coaching. So if you want to get some of this in your life and have somebody helping you to be able to withstand and recover from difficult times, you can reach out to me those ways as well. Thank you so much for joining us today.
I definitely will highly recommend hosting a DECA event if you haven't tried it. Definitely reach out to Coach about that. I guarantee you, if you're a gym owner, your members are going to love it. If you're a coach, I guarantee your athletes will love it. It's a great opportunity to build community, and it's so important for people to be doing things that push them outside of their comfort zone, and it's a little bit different than what you normally do. Highly, highly recommend that. So thank you guys for tuning into this episode of the Ricardo's Rules of Resilience, the podcast where we give you the tools to withstand and overcome difficulties. Thank you for joining. Go be resilient.